He will suffer. So what do you see now as you see that guy running through the fire? You see him carrying everything he came in with. No. There's a burning. That salt is removing, collecting. You know, there's a way fire behaves. The Bible tells you four things that don't say enough. One of them is fire. Fire doesn't burn and burn and say, God, I don't chop since these 7 days. Who has seen those fires are burned for months in all this country? Hey, thank God for Nigeria. Hey, God. Father, I thank you for Nigeria. Who has seen those fires? Who saw Australia 3 years ago? Fire never says, you don't do now. No, they put wood now. Don't give me fuel. Fire does not understand it. Like death and like the earth that drinks water. And like a barren womb that says, I go born again. But it doesn't care. It want more. That's how fire is. Fire never says enough. Swell. The land of the dead doesn't say enough. It tells in Isaiah that it enlarges its mouth. As people increase, it doesn't say, too many unbelievers. So yeah, let's share this equal. The good side and the bad side. Swell, no, they tire. No, they go. The land of the dead. Everyone that dies, there's space for you. Now, don't presume it's hell. I said the land of the dead. Just where dead people go. In other words, that death doesn't get satisfied. Death doesn't say, when I too die, I've resigned. Death does not get tired of laboring. It's always collecting. So, I hope, what I'm trying to say is that there is a cleansing, a judging, a process. And someone is going to ask, is that purgatory you're talking about? Let me say it before you say it. Is this not what the Catholics used to say? So is this how it works? Once is a Catholic that said he must be wrong. Everybody knows. At least every Protestant. No, that's not how it works. Something's not wrong because you don't like it. And someone's going to leave here and say, that pastor said purgatory is real. There's no word like purgatory in the Bible. So I don't know how I could say something that is not. I just read a portion of the scriptures. Huh? 2-3 portions. We read it together. We have read it. We will not dwell on it. It's not the focus. And I'm not in the mood. And I pray not to be in the mood. You know, whatever we've studied on those topics, I hope I've told you, we have not studied one quarter. Yeah, we have not. When we study, you know we studied it. Just let there be a worldwide strike. Maybe lockdown. One day like this. Don't worry, what we can't study now in the age to come, look for me. If I'm still relevant. Come, we study Bible. I don't think anybody will come to my class. Huh? They'll probably go to Daniel's class. Say, Daniel is handing a class on the end times. See, Ita is handing a class. Even Ita will be in Daniel's program. If you like, come. Didn't you know when I announced it? I didn't know Daniel was holding a class. You're on your own. Now, empty hall. Now you go see. Some people think, oh, once you die, once you're in the next age, everything will be set. Everybody will know the same. It's a lie. If you lie, be a moo-moo here. You'll be shocked at how much you won't know. There's a price. The Bible tells you the nations will come. The mountain of the Lord's house will be exalted above the nations. And the nations will swell. They'll find themselves going to say, let us go and learn. Come, let us be taught the ways of the God of Jacob. The coming ages, school. I am amazed at how much people like school now. Be careful how much, only go to school to the extent God wants you to go to school. Don't be wasting time. You're going to be an academician, you're going to be teaching. God says, I want you to lecture, I want you to, why should you be a lecturer? One, it's a job, a field of labor, so it will provide for you and your family. Two, it's a field for catching people, young adults, for the kingdom of God. That's what it is. It's a fantastic field, a very good field for catching a lot of young people and bringing them to the Lord. I pity all these lecturers that are born again and All you are there is to work and get money and join us to strike. Very confusing. Very confusing. You're born again. They planted you in a hive of humanity at its best stage for catching for Jesus. And you are focused on what? You don't know why you're there? Your salary is just transport money to your ministry. Lecturers have a lot to answer. Sorry, if you're tuned in at your lecture, this thing happens. A lot. God will tell you, I gave you a free. You could tell an undergraduate anything. They'll say, yes, sir. There's nothing you tell them. They don't agree. There's no set of young people agreeable as a student to lecturer. You're not hearing me. A lecturer can tell a student, see, Jesus didn't die. And the student will keep his face straight and even be nodding slightly. Who wants to fail? They don't agree at all. But they are like, well, the Bible says there's a time for everything. A time to keep silent. Lecturers, there are very few people that can say anything and get away with it. At the top of that list are lecturers. Because undergraduates are the most well-behaved. In front of their lecture, undergraduates, they are like nothing. Nothing. They become nothing. And then you have that kind of power. And everybody in your class is not born again. You're not making all of them be in church every Sunday. Steady. Anybody I don't see here? Class rep. A lecturer can do and undo. He didn't use any. Say, well, sometimes I share with them. If I was a lecturer, I suppose I would have serious problems. Serious problems. It's just to find a way to have self-control and not preach in classes. That's the only part that will be super hard. The other part, the real part is what happens after lectures. Aha! So even if I have a family of two, it will be a very big parlor, very big. So you come and get your I'll live near the university. I'll live near. Nice man. Everybody says he's a very nice man, better. Oh, you came to get your paper? So how are you? Everybody will be half of three quarter of every class. You not just say baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. Lecturers repent everywhere. Devilish lecturers have used their classes to do great devilry all over the world. Yes. Young people are the most easily radicalized people there are. They've influenced people's brains, changed them into completely terrible people. You could also influence them massively and make them wonderful people. You could, if you just try, if you understand that that's the calling. That's why you're in the university. What you think God brought you there to give you money? He can give you money elsewhere. There are lecturers who are consultants or they hold some other position. Who says you need a lecturing job to be paid? After all, many Nigerian lecturers have not been paid at different times. So is it money? Yes, many went there for the bigger pay, but I believe that segue is for someone. Again. Take note, God has loved you and spoken to you. If you like, despise you and say, he doesn't know what he's saying. Mm-mm. The mere fact that I stopped and spoke about it means he's talking to you specifically. That's a prophetic word. So repent. You don't know what to do. Reach out. We can help pray for you, encourage you, and strengthen you, and give you materials. Every lecturer should have materials. When you're giving them the assignment, say, take these two. I'm giving you two tests. One is a school-owned. This other one is a mini-test. If I see you not submit This everybody, compulsory reading. They will read it. How would they not read it? A lecturer can stand in front of a class and say everybody should give 2,500 and everybody coughs up, runs around. You have not eaten well 3 days, but you cough up 2,000, 5,000. I'm not even talking about the ones that ask for 50,000. Masters, students, all sorts. You give. Tell you, oh, I'd like to go somewhere. Can you, I use your car? You give. They give their car. There's nothing they... So if they can make those demands, you can't make a demand. Say, this tract or this small booklet is compulsory reading. Make sure before the next class, oh yeah, class rep, share it and you walk out. Do you mean they'll go and report to you in this Nigeria? They'll go and report to VC and say, this lecturer made us read this tract. You didn't report when he demanded 10,000 sorting, even though it's open that he demanded it. You couldn't report. Now tract, you will report. Meanwhile, the Christianity of the Christian lecturer is in his heart. Repent in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In season and out of season, we are meant to be preaching the word of God. Okay? All right. So I'm not going to enter this dimension again. Just know that the two gold dimensions are golden. Have you heard? Just know it. The Lord's emphasis was on the outer court, and we'll leave it there. Any other thing, just know that the closest you can have on this side of life is the holy place. The place of the Spirit, the place of the community of the saints, the 12 loaves of bread, and the place of incense from it, the true altar. This is not sacrifice the blood. It's the golden altar. It's for worship, prayer, communication with God, a pleasing incense. All right. And then the Holy of Holies is where the Lord's words are. Two tablets of stone. I've told you that's his righteousness and his justice in there. That's the primary thing that was left in there. And by the time it comes to the temple, that's it. Forever, oh God, your word is settled. The foundation of his throne is righteousness and justice. This is his throne. On top of it is what you call the mercy seat. You have come to the throne of mercy to obtain mercy and find grace. So Lord Jesus sits there. The Lord is enthroned between the cherubim. All right. So he sits there. That's his dwelling place. As he sits there, at the bottom of it is righteousness and justice. If you approach him, God can allow us to taste it. That's why in this world you have taste, a taste of righteousness and justice. But you can't dwell because it's a visiting place. There is coming a kingdom wherein we'll dwell. Righteousness. Are you understanding? It is not yet. It is being made. It is being built. Now you are supposed to be amongst the building blocks for that. For that. The Lord wants to construct using human stones. Peter called them living stones. As he constructs his temple. We were reading first Ephesians chapter 2. We read, did we finish it? Where did we stop? Did we finish verse 20 and 21. You know, he told us that we are built on the foundation
of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone.
The whole building is
fitted together.
Together.
And grows into a holy temple in the Lord.
Okay? And in him,
you two are being built together into a holy place for God in
a dwelling place for God in the Spirit. He's doing this work in your spirit. He's building, constructing. But remember, spirit, soul, and body, blameless. The Lord wants you to be renewed. He wants you to be cleaned up. He wants your spirit. I've told you the filthiness. I didn't say it today. I'll repeat it. I've said it before. The filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. There's filthiness of the flesh. Everybody knows that. Easy. Bad stuff. You know, the soul, the suke, the flesh, fleshly nature. There are 3-4 words used for the Bible words about human nature. 4 words, 3 major for spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit is pneuma in the Greek. Your soul is suke. Your body is soma. But there's a 4th word called sarx. Sarx. Your sarx is your fleshly nature. It's not exactly your soul. It's not your spirit. It's not your body. Oftentimes, your body uses the word flesh. Fleshly nature. Your fleshly nature is your sarx. Your sarx is the corrupted, fallen nature that is in mankind. The one that God wants to remove, that it shouldn't exist anymore, but which you still struggle with as long as you're in this earth. Fleshly nature is not your body. Now, because of a simple thing like misunderstanding the difference between your soma and the sax, people have tormented their soma, not knowing that the Bible wasn't talking about soma, but sax. Literally, that's not the same word. Unfortunately, when they translate from the Greek to the English, there's not really a word. So thank God some newer translation will say fleshly nature, but some will say the flesh. And you now think it's this. So people have tormented themselves, flagellated, done things, put their bodies through very torment, tortured. But it's the nature which you can't touch. It's not physical. It's the aspect of man. It's in your mind. It's mental, which is spiritual. Spiritual. The Lord does not want us to have blame in any parts. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, which we saw. He wants you cleaned up in each. Spiritual filthiness comes as a result of drinking defiled water. False doctrine. False doctrine creates spiritual filthiness. It's a very big deal. It is at the root of all the mess that follows. Once you believe error, severely erroneous doctrine. Doctrine is the word. It means teaching. It just means teaching. Okay. Once you hear doctrine, it's the word teaching. Sometimes the Bible says teaching, sometimes it says doctrine. Depends on the translation. All right. Now, when you believe erroneous teaching, when you're taught falsehood and you swallow it as the truth, words go into your spirit man. It goes into your spirit. That's what your spirit lives on. That's what feeds it. That's what it grows. Man shall not live by bread, food alone, but shall live by every word. Your spirit. God is a spirit. So when words live from the spirit realm into a man, if it is from God in heaven, it makes you live. For those that are in the grave, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. They shall live. But when it is the words of Satan, they are lies, and lies bind. You shall know the truth, it makes you free. You shall know a lie, you shall be tied up. You're back to bondage. So spiritual error ties you up. It binds you. Believing a lie, even in the church of God, will bind you. It will tie you up. Hey, Rabakata. Let me show you something quickly. I really wanted to finish Acts of the Apostles. We haven't even touched it. Did I say Revelation chapter 17? No, I didn't. Okay, I wanted to say it. Start from the first verse.
Then one of the seven angels with the seven bowls came and said to me, "Come, I'll show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters. The kings of the earth were immoral with her, and those who dwell on the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her immorality. And the angel carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, where I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was..."
Stop! The angel carried me away in the spirit into the
wilderness.
Luke chapter 4 verse 1. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was done what? Led by the spirit into the wilderness. Go back. Revelation 17 verse 3. John, the apostle, was taken by the spirit into
the wilderness.
Are we together there?
Yes, sir.
Who is leading them? Which spirit? An evil spirit or a good spirit? The spirit of God took him there. He was taken in the spirit. Jesus was physical and the spirit led him. John physically, but in the spirit realm he was taken. In all instances, the escort was the spirit of God. This is clear. Now he takes him into the wilderness. What do you find in the wilderness? I'm going to say to you that what you find in the one, you'll find in the other. It's the same dealings of God. It's going to happen to you. Many of you have had this experience. Some of you have not really had it yet, but you will have it. And it's best you know. This is why scriptures are given. What did he see when he went? A woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names and had 7 heads and 10 horns. What did the Lord Jesus see? He was tempted of Satan, the adversary, the opponent. Satan, Ha-Satan is a title that speaks of one that is on the other side. The opposer, the adversary, the opposition, the lawyer on the other side. Persecution, attorney for the persecution. This woman is a spiritual influence. We picked at her some days ago, weeks ago. Did you see in a basket? Do you remember laying in a basket that was taken to Shinar, which is Babylon? The thing she was riding, a horrible looking creature, has 7 heads and 10 horns. Horns speak of authority, heads speak of leadership. And what is she? Keep going. Now you can be sure she'll be judged. What was she dressed in? Purple and scarlet, gold, precious stones and pearls. Why am I alone? Are you guys here?
Yes, sir.
Walk with. See. Don't make me be preaching while you're doing nothing. We suffer together, you hear me? Okay, we walk together. So you not say he said. When you go back, be able to say, you know I said. What is she dressed in? One, purple
and scarlet and
gold. Not too like Bible. Stop all this. What is she dressed with? Stop reading now. Purple, scarlet, gold, precious stones, and pearls. What is she holding? A golden cup. She's holding a golden cup. Take note. The cup is
golden.
Say gold.
Gold.
Maripata. Say gold.
Gold.
Say divine.
Divine.
Say spiritual.
Spiritual.
Say of the spirit realm.
Of the spirit realm.
Say scarlet.
Scarlet.
Purple is the color of kings. Let me explain again. The color purple was very rare. It's why you look around the world, except it's a new country. Every old country that has had a flag for 100 years, 200 years, three, none of them have purple flags. Purple was too costly. What it took to make purple, the country you got it from, the sea animal, you squeeze the ink that was purple. From now, all of you are wearing purple because they can produce it chemically. Before now in the earth, colors were gotten from nature. Scarlet red is costly. Purple was impossible. You had to be royalty, super wealthy. This is a picture of wealth and grandeur. You can't understand that if you are alive today. You can understand it if you were in times of past. And I've given you the reason. She was dressed luxuriously. Is this clear? She's a picture of opulence. She looks like money. That thing you're running after. Siam. This is the mother. She's covered, encrusted with jewels and pearls and precious stones and gold. And in the midst of all that, she's carrying something liquid that pretends to be divine in nature. But it is of the spirit realm. That's why 1 John chapter 4 says, test the spirits and see whether they be of God. Test the spirits. Beloved, God's children, do not believe every spirit. But test and see. It told you, it warned us that doctrines of devils will fill the church. And people act like, no, this person cannot be wrong. And why do you think this? Why were you warned against what cannot be? Why did Jesus warn you over and over again? Beware. Why did all the apostles warn you? If you cannot stumble or fall to it. He said, beware that you are not deceived over and over again. Why were you warned? Why did Peter, apostle to the Jews, and Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, the two primary apostles, why did they say that the Spirit says expressly, clearly, that in the last days, deceiving spirits will come? There have always been false religions on earth. He was specifically talking to the church. He was telling the people of God that there's going to be an increase, that many, 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit expressly states that in later times, are you telling me they were not false doctrines? Then they were. Gnostic teachings were there, everything. But he specifically said, in the later times, there's a special extra thing that will happen. Some will abandon the faith to follow deceitful spirits. You don't test the scripture to see whether it's of God. You test the spirits. And words are spirit. Timothy. He tells you that, 1 Timothy 4. They will follow deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons. He tells you how the deceitful spirits find expression. It's through teachings. And how? Is it that demons become physical? No. In quote, man of God, genuine and false, hear a spirit and don't do what John the apostle said. They don't test the spirit. They just go like, I was praying and the spirit walked into my room. I beheld the presence of an angel. Go to 2 Corinthians 11. And he began to tell me, son, all I could do was take notes. Now your mind cannot believe. This is how we think. If he's sincere, he can't be deceived. And it is this madness that will make you bow down to the Antichrist. Anyone can be deceived. If it were possible, even the elect will be deceived. That's the one. I don't even want to go there right now. Leave it. See, there's never enough time for anything. You know what it means to be elect? The 7,000 were elect. I have reserved for myself. The elect are reserved. They are the guaranteed class. He said, if possible, even the elect will be deceived. And you're busy walking around. Who told you you're among the elect? They said, me, I can't be deceived. The mere fact that you think it. That's all. That's all I need to know. That you are likely deceived or will be. You don't know you can be deceived. If you're human, you can be deceived. Do you breathe? Peter was with Jesus day and night for 3 years and he was deceived. Jesus is getting ready to die. He's busy trying to stop him, doing the work of Satan. Till Jesus turns and addresses him and says, oh God, Satan, get behind me. You can't be deceived. Anyone can be deceived. Barnabas that brought Paul out and moved around him says in the book of Galatians, Paul says that even Barnabas was carried away with their dissimulation. That pride, that mindset. So when you come to a place where you don't test the spirit, no, if it's this man that saw it must be. You don't understand the spirit realm. Let me explain. Where the spirit leads you in. Where the spirit leads you to. Galatians 2:13. The other Jews joined him. Who? Peter. Peter. This is Peter later on. In his hypocrisy. So that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. Sweet Barnabas, generous Barnabas, the giver Barnabas, our Barnabas, the son of encouragement. Barnabas that hunted Saul down. We are not saying he was permanently deceived. We are saying he was led astray. The power of influence. Paul said he withstood Peter to the face. Kephas. He said, if you carried away. Now, did he repent? Yes. Must have stopped it later. But if you think you can't be carried away with erroneous teaching, you don't know the power of teaching. People can ignore a prophecy after a while and say, leave that. He was talking nonsense. It was fake prophecy. But teaching, the more it seems, someone can stand and explain you into total confusion. I spoke about it the other day. How someone, I was talking about servants of God that you'd have loved. Everything in me would love to go and sit under them and say, you are such a wonderful servant of God. Then they'll come out and say, everybody knows the normative practice in the last 100 years is that healings do not occur. And I say, do you realize how much you must have lied to yourself to believe that healings don't happen again? You did a documentary and went around everybody, they say Benny Hinn never healed. And every single one of them told you it was a lie. Do you realize how wicked you must be to produce a documentary and there are 3, 4 people, 5 that you interviewed who all said they didn't get healed? Are you telling the truth that you didn't come across any that got healed? Do you realize how wicked your heart must be to be that deceitful while you claim to be looking out for the body of Christ? When a small brand new Christian has already seen healings and miracles, if they step out in faith of some sort, when in any place you stand and throw your hand, even amongst Muslims that don't believe in Jesus, but they say, in this place, has anybody been healed? Said they are having a problem in North Korea. No, North Korea, it's an Islamic country. In North Korea, it's the worst, it's number one. They'll kill you for saying Jesus. Kakrak, boom. They have summary, you know what they call summary execution? There's execution, you go to court, they try you in court. Then Somalia used to do it at the time, if they catch you with the Bible, North Korea, catch with the Bible. They don't need to take you to court. They can, whoever saw it, the policeman can kill you there. There's no need for process. Is that a Bible? Boom. Now they said during COVID, things were so bad. So bad. Terribly bad. People dying like chickens. Already they are a very hungry country. Things are terrible. And then someone found out there's a small underground church hidden always that believe in Jesus. They literally worship their leaders. They bow down. They have a statue of their leaders, 3 generations. They bow down to it. They worship them as God. And they found out during the COVID matter that there's a healing method. And they say in Jesus' name, people get well. So Jesus became popular in North Korea. Don't you love our God? People start being rebellious. What is it? Now this one is working. In a place where you can't talk about him, where children have reported parents, where a Bible is like, South Koreans have to be tying Bibles in balloon, put food, some chocolate, because South Korea is prosperous and happy. North Korea, communist, this side is free, democratic. They put them in balloons and throw, so it will float through the air and go and fall. So people can grab it, pick, they put Bibles, they put different things. People have been doing intercession ahead for whether 17 years for them. From 11 at night till 3 a.m. Prayer chains. Non-stop. 17 years. You thought you were a Christian, right? I've told you this thing, we are not trying. We are trying to work on. And I repeat, Lord, may I not be next to the Asians on Judgment Day. Lord, please. I want to be with Southern Nigerians only. Tell the Southern Nigerians this way. I'll have small confidence. Say, oh yeah, all right, everybody, Nigerians, Chinese this way. No! Because you'll be asking. By the time judgment comes, you say, don't worry now. I mean, people that are born again, that are here. No, is there a place for... And you hear about Christianity. Say, now, if you know I've given up for Jesus, do you know what it took for me to be here? Do you know I walked down here? You should have flown. That's what you gave up to be. You're a clown. When there are people who to meet like this, you come with the mindset that from here you can go to prison for 5 years because you came for one meeting. One. I'm not talking about, not care, you'll be dead. You don't know what even does it. China, 4 years, even till now, you'll be shocked. Especially the leaders. Just come, you're gone. Gone, 7 years in prison. They break your leg there or something. Drag you up. What did you do? You joined this. This is a nefarious meeting. This is unacceptable. And people are still meeting. 2 a.m. That's when church starts. Yes. Many. 2 a.m. 2 a.m. 2 to 4. All darkness. Black darkness. All over quietly. You can't just use light anyhow. So they don't say, who goes there? They go in there singing. Praise them. Praise them. Here saying, do you know what? I've given up. You've done what? Stop. Join me. Beg God on judgment day. Let the Chinese be one side. All those Islamic countries, one side. Us. This side. So at least you have small relevance. You know when they are marking over 4? Okay, had 2 over 4. Now when they take to the side, they are marking over 100. What will you do? These are the kind of prayer points me I have. You people, what do you guys pray about? Food. Me, I'm trying to secure my future. You, hustle, money is what you need. Just pack enough. When you read it, you just settle the angel. Actually, were you a Christian? You were? And the guy just in front of you is telling some story. I told you the story. How this man went there, saw these two young girls, one 20 something years, one 19 or 20, 22 or 3 years old. They are standing there and he came. So they're talking. Got this one. So how many people, how many, so what do you do? Say, I'm over, and they look down, they're embarrassed and apologizing, looking down. What? In the last 2 years, I only started 30 churches. And the size of this church, he thought maybe, okay, started 30 churches with 20 members. Say the smallest is 300, the biggest is 500. You guys 23 years old. Same heaven, same line. Now you come from it, God forbid. Yeah, side. Face his side. Everybody face his side. This Christianity is personal. My first objection, please, sir, can this be a closed door? God, me, I don't want to be hearing all these kinds of things. I said, and the two girls, they were ashamed. They say we embarrass them because I think they are amongst the poorer laborers. They had not done too well. See, the way they're looking down and muttering and like, hi, God, dude, hey, God. The man went to die. You know when you feel you have brought the word? Hey! It's important to know these things though. Some of you, your head was big as we were coming up here. You say, the battles I fought? You know I had to refuse dinner to come here? You know I kept my food and came here? I'm telling you, you're feeling like a conqueror. Well done. Well done. Well done. I don't know why some of these Christians have to be too serious. I don't know. Can't we just do this thing gently? Who thinks we just gently, just this thing? This is not works. Ah, mama. It works? You guys believe in works? Ah, are these believers? In what? Work. Okay, maybe I'll open that scripture now. I've shown you something. Let me touch it and leave it. The lady, Mystery Babylon, is in the wilderness. Do you agree? She's in a dry place, but she looks resplendent. What are you offered in the wilderness? The same thing Jesus was offered. The lust of the flesh, bread, the lust of the eyes, the kingdoms of this world, the pride of life. Announce yourself. From the top of the temple, land like Superman, step out and say, come, I have come. I am the Messiah. And everybody will say, wow. Do you hear how they used to believe that when the Messiah comes, nobody will know where he comes from? That's what they said. How can he be this carpenter's son? So make yourself distinguished and different and so special you don't look like anybody else. Even though for them to identify Jesus, Judas had to kiss him. That's how ordinary our Lord looked. The lapel, silver. This side, shiny blue. Electric blue. This side, this thing. This side. See, this shoe they gave me. Oh, don't blame me. Someone gave me. I said, let me not refuse. I just said. So someone else said, look at that hypocrite. Look, see the shoe he's wearing. I said, they gave me. I was just there. Someone now just said, my wife said, I don't know, this brother from Port Harcourt gave me. Have you forgiven me? The shoe is fine, no? But I have no hand. Only in lacing. In fact, I'm not the one that laced the first lacing. It's only the final lace that I tied. Now that we've settled, I'm still a Christian. The Bible lets you know that Jesus was so non-distinguishable from the rest that Judas had to go among and go, Master. Say, no. I heard a big pastor that you probably like many years ago say Jesus was a fashion statement. You're shouting. If I tell you said it, you go, If I tell you said it, you go, he didn't hide to say it. He wrote it in book. I hope you're not writing names. Okay. Say, Jesus. I'm like, which Jesus? Jesus that they had to kill before they found out that what he wore under, that maybe wife of Cusa gave him, who was the wife of a very big man, was a very fine inner clothing. He had to die first for them to see. Other than that, he was ordinary looking. Didn't go around trying to make a point. Step out. They say, wow. They say, so when you look at him, you see glory. The glory of mystery Babylon. That's what I'm showing you. This is the glory. There's a glory of the harlot system. Now, who took him there? The Holy Spirit. Listen. Who took Jesus there? The Holy Spirit. Go to Luke 4. To be tempted. The church has been taken into the dimensions of the Spirit. To be tempted. To be tempted. It's not Luke. Verse 2. Wherefore 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Who brought him here? God pushes us into wilderness situations. It's not the first time. Israel in the wilderness. It's not the second time. Jesus in the wilderness. If any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. So don't be asking why you're being tempted. You need to be found worthy. This is not discussing if you're a child of God. The children of Israel celebrated Passover. They were accepted in the beloved before they were taken into the wilderness. Today, it's because you have been forgiven your sins, because you've been accepted by God, you will be put into a wilderness situation and the devil will tempt you there. Any other form of belief is error. Now, when you are tempted, the question is, what should you do? The church has been tempted sorely for the seasons from the time of Jesus Christ until now. The church has been tempted sorely. And like Adam and Eve, who were tempted with the lust of the flesh, the tree was good for food. The lust of the eyes was beautiful to behold. The pride of life, a tree to make one wise. The same three temptations Eve was tempted with, the Lord Jesus was tempted with, and he passed all. The church who has said, I will come after you, Master, will be tempted, is tempted with the same three. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world. Three, want to go? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of the life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, the lust in it. But whoever does the will of God remains, abides forever. So what happens to those who do the will of the flesh, the will of their eyes? You will not abide forever. You will not remain. John 8, 31, 32, 33. If you know the truth, just give me 33. 33 and 34. He says, we are Abraham's descendants. The answer, we have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say we will be free? Read with me verse 34. Jesus replied,
truly, truly, truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. 35, a slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son belongs to it forever. Say that again. A slave is not a permanent member of the family. Say it again. A slave is not a permanent member of the family. Go back to verse 34. Who is a slave? Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. What do you say about one saved again? See, sin will take away that which you think you have. For that, in the first place, is why the enemy tempts you to sin. Now, for those who do not know, for those who have not read, Romans chapter 11 tells you that the children of Israel, the original vine, he says they were broken off. Say some of the branches were broken off. And he warned the church that if they commit the same error like Israel of old, the spiritual Israel of God, which is the Jews and the Gentiles in Christ Jesus combined, he said, you too will be broken off. In spite of Paul, our apostle, telling us that, we still concluded that no, we can never be broken off. It's written there clearly that you can be broken off. In plain language, he said, if God, verse 21, if God did not spare the natural branches, which is Israel, go and read it, he will certainly not spare you either. You choose to be a slave to sin and like to say things that I cannot help myself, even though God has clearly made it known to you in his word that you can be helped. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He says, draw near to me. We sang a new song. I came to meet you guys singing a brand new song from heaven. What was it again? Who can remember? Those who remember. Sing. Why are you saying it? Sing it. All those that have computers in their head. Thank you. You guys are like me. Yes. I cannot remember all my songs. I need help from the Holy Ghost before I remember any. The point is, the wording say draw close to you. Draw us closer to you, draw us nearer to you as we draw near. And I explained it as we're singing towards the end. I explained it. The scriptures say, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. And you're busy saying, there's nothing you can do. There's something you can do. What can you do? You can draw near to God. Yes. How? There are ways. It's all over the Bible. Example, read the Bible. Now it's coming. Yes. How else? Talk to him about the things you read. Okay. What else? Don't sin. But that's where the problem is now. I can't stop. You can. You're surrounded with people that used to sin uncontrollably in different ways. And they are no more. So what are you saying? Draw near to him by getting close to one of them and asking them, how did you overcome? Then do what they say. In this congregation, I know there are congregations where they sin everywhere. People come to sin. They go like, I need to sin. I know where to find sin. And then they go there. You come to church like this Friday night and go home with the opposite sex. Am I lying? Who has seen or heard solid rumors that can be confirmed of things like that? Going to church with, I'm not looking, I'm looking down. I'm looking down. So you don't say, you're lifting your hand for, I can watch the video later. You have gone to a congregation. Don't tell lies. You know. I'm not saying you are part of it. I'm not saying you are not. I'm saying you are aware that people go the way someone... Okay, let me look up. Just so I can look at it. The way someone says, let me go out and see if I can pick up someone, if I can find a fellow sinner who has seen and heard and knows people who do that, they went to a church meeting with that intention and succeed constantly. All those hands. If that does not terrify you, what does? That someone can say, let me go to the house of God to go and find, that Hophni and Phineas can come out, today, I'll find girls to sleep with. They dress up with clerical robes to go to fish in the house of God for partners in iniquity. And we think God will keep silent forever? No, it won't happen. God, that day they went to war and they defeated them and killed 4,000 Jews. Israelites, 4,000 Israelites fell under the sword at the hand of the Philistines. When you go back, go and read the book of 1 Samuel from chapter 2 down. The scriptures say, the Bible says when they went back, they said it's because we didn't carry the ark of God. Let's carry the ark of God and go there. The next day, they carry the ark. When they carry out, the Bible says among the people, the Israelites, there was a great shout. The earth shook. Yeah! The Bible says, the Philistines said, oh, these gods of the Jews, which did mighty things in Egypt, has come amongst us. We are finished. That scripture Christians sometimes quote. It's Philistines that said it. They told each other, quit ye like men. Quit ye like men. Please find that in English. Sorry, King James, I ain't in my head. Don't be angry. Everybody knew that King James was the only Bible. The one that God threw down there. At least that's what I thought. So I now came and come and found out that it's not like that. So King James, now for my head. Take courage and be men, O Philistines. Guess who is giving them this boldness? Have you remember how we started? Yeah. You thought the story was over. They're just empty now. The Spirit moved on them and said, be bold. Take courage, all. Take courage. That same whistling God told them, take courage. See, when God is encouraging your enemy against you, I repeat, oh God, in everything you do in this world, don't get to be on the opposite side of God. I'm not saying he fights dirty, but he doesn't lose. Love never fails, and God is love. See, it's best you know it, oh. God said he'll fight you. You now say, let's see now. Buy a coffin. Hurry. You cannot fight God. You're not going to win. It doesn't matter how it looks like they are winning. You can't win. His name is God. And he's a man of war. I told you, he likes fight. I'm not playing. We read it yesterday. Jesus said, that time he was carried away. He said, you think I came to bring peace? Look at how you look at me, like I said it. Luke chapter 12, we read it together. Verse 50, 51. He said, do you think I came to bring peace? Then he opened up. He said, I came to bring a sword. He said, now wahala, now I come. I'm not saying the angels were wrong, but you see, it's war first, then peace later. For there's a time for everything, a time for war, and a time for peace. Is this clear? The Bible tells us that the army came out. And what happened when that army came out? They attacked. 4,009 they killed the day before. This day they brought the ark. They killed 30,000 of them. As they came out with boldness. Huh? God is a good God. Yes, God is. As they finished that meeting, dead bodies everywhere. Immediately after that, all night. That's when you hear three of your relatives. As you finish declaring and establishing and confirming. And you're wondering what happens. They didn't just do that. They took away the ark. They carried it away. It has never happened before after that. Nobody ever touched it. The ark left with the end. That's how thoroughly they defeated them. Oh, those two priests that used to think you can combine sin with this thing, they all died. Plus, when God told Eli, their father, he said, a sign. Two of your sons will die in one day. As God has shown you in the Bible, God never tells you how bad it will be fully. He only tells you parts. That's why I've told you, fear God. That principle of he's able to do exceeding abundantly more than you can ask for or imagine is both sides. When he told David that your neighbor will sleep with your wife, he didn't tell me it's your son. There's a world of difference between your neighbor and your son. But he was his neighbor. He was not living in his father's house. That's a fact. He had his house, he had his lands, he had everything. He was a man of his own. God didn't tell him. God never says how bad it will be fully. He knows we can't have. Jesus told him, he said, I have many things to tell you, you cannot bear it. Later on, he told John a few. It's called the book of Revelation. That's why you don't read it. You can't bear it. I've told you how to have a good night's sleep. Put the book of Revelation on audio. You have nice dreams. Do it this night. You have experiences. The truth is, the Lord our God is mighty and is to be feared among the nations. And he told you he will be feared. There are those who are like, no, leave, God is my body. You know, the other day I was just telling the Lord, as we sat down, you know, as we usually sit out. So I just told him, Lord, he said, yes. I'm not saying God can't reveal himself nicely and all that, baby, very careful. These are God. Hey, that's it, God is smart. When he beat you one, you heard the mighty hand of God. Bah! It's one, the only one he give you, bah, you're on the other side. That is, you wake up, it's heaven. How did I get here? Rick Joyner said, I've said this story. He told God, I want to hear your voice. Not the voice of Jesus, not the voice of the Holy Spirit. I want to hear the voice of the Father. I want to hear the voice of the Father. Okay, he was informed. Okay. On so and so day, so and so time, I'll speak to you. He sat down, got ready, sat down by the window. God spoke three words. I'll tell you what he said. But he said, when he spoke it, he said, what went through him? One response. Please don't ever speak to me again. Don't leave it. Don't talk to me, Father in heaven. And what God said was, I love you. He said he wanted to die. His body, he wanted to separate into pieces. He said, don't talk to me. Then you understand why God sent Jesus. Turn into a man, sent him. He's now saying, no, I want to see. That's some people say, so I told you those visions you see is a picture of a video of God. If you know how many stages, how many layers of defense is in between. Someone is in the spirit. He sees Jesus, he used to lean on his chest. He passes out. He didn't say he fell. He said it was like a dead man. Dead men don't breathe. He went. It's well with us. We are having to break bread today. Please bring the bread and the wine. But in these last few minutes, I'm still speaking. And we are going to look at, you know, what does the Lord give us the bread and wine for? He gives it to his church. If you feel you don't have any reason to take it, have peace. Don't. When they pass it, you say, don't worry. You don't have to leave. Sometimes people just leave the room. Bread and wine is not for members of a particular church group. It's for the body of Christ. The Catholics call it sacraments. People call it different names. Sacrament is a sacred thing you do. Special thing. A set apart thing. The church is told. Baptisms. Breaking of bread. The Bible says they broke bread from house to house. I've explained it many times. Lots and lots of messages on this. Almost every time we break bread, I say something new. Because the word of God is endless. Endless. So, I would encourage you to understand that this represents this blood we've talked about that the Lord got for us. And this represents the bread. The Bible actually says, this is my blood and this is my bread. This is my body. You know, so you say, no, the Roman Catholics say it's transubstantiation. Who knows that word? Good. Former Catholics? Well done. Transubs. That word is not in the Bible. You can know. Look at the length now. So, but just know that generally speaking, that the bread is the body of Christ. And when we do pray, again, I don't know why. Hey, I want to give you a gist. Maybe tomorrow. We are here by 5. We might have another series of meetings in the next week or 2 or 3, but just know it. This is preparatory. We are trying to prepare ourselves. Okay? Be very careful. Don't pour anything. Don't lift it casually. Don't pour. It's not a lie. I was born a Catholic. A Roman Catholic. And they will say, someone did communion there and they spat out blood. I wish those priests used to tell proper stories. Some people know how to say it. But I heard of a story in Indonesia in the 50s, 60s. And there was a revival, mighty revival. God moved mighty. Indonesia is a Muslim country. Right now it's the most populated Muslim country. The pastors, the wine came from water. Before the meetings, the Holy Spirit would say, I want brother this, sister this, that. They should fetch water. They'll go to the river, very poor part of Indonesia. They'll fetch water and pour into barrels and cover it. On the day of the meeting, like the next morning or so, it will be wine, red wine. The German man who wrote that book called Koch, whom I'm still annoyed with. Why? Because he doesn't believe in tongues. I don't know how someone can see so many supernatural things and go and be doubting small things. Okay, but it's a personal beef when I see him in heaven. You'll walk it out. But I'm just informing you that here at the front. All right, so I'm still speaking. And the water would turn to wine. When the water would turn to wine, they would use it for the communion service. How many of you know Germans are very meticulous? How many of you know the people that made the Mercedes-Benz and Volkswagen and German diesels, that they are very meticulous? Okay. That man is meticulous. He said he saw water turn to wine 6 times. In the short time he spent there, whether 6 weeks. So it was fantastic. Now, one of those days, that wine remained in a bottle after the meeting. Like sometimes you remain after this meeting and they put it in my car, they bring it to the house and all that. And the pastor's wife took it and didn't know what to do. So she poured it out on the ground. As she finished pouring, went, and vomited blood, the equivalent of what she just poured. Real blood. She didn't pour it again. Would you? That's not a Roman Catholic story. That stands by itself. I'm just telling you. The Bible doesn't say the wine is like the blood. It says Jesus took the cup and said, this is my blood. He said, this is my body. And I've told you what that means. In John chapter 6, he had told them, if you are part of me and you do not drink my blood or eat my flesh, you don't have life. He said it 3 times. He said it and did not interpret. John 6. His disciples scattered. Only about the 12 or so were left. Truly, truly, verse 53. He said it 3 times, but I'm just saying this part. Truly, truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, you have no life in you. So what does this impart?
Life.
Life. So this is an impartation. Why don't you raise your hand? He doesn't want. Okay, no problem. So he said, if you don't have this, don't have life. He didn't say, if you don't have this, you're not part of a church denomination. I've heard years ago, I heard about a church denomination saying all its members must be baptized into the church. That's 100% wrong. You're not baptized into a church group. I've heard people say, no, you cannot come and get baptized elsewhere. You must be baptized in our church. All that is confusion. Those are teachings of demons. Spirits have spoken. You have not tested it. You've gone to practicalize. That's why Satan goes after high-level servants of God. It is St. Augustine that created a situation where Christians could heal and believe it's God's will. St. Augustine, he's not primarily a Roman Catholic influence, I've told you. He's the prime influence in Protestantism and everything. St. Augustine, he was not a Catholic. The Catholic Church was not known as you know it now, then. Even though it was a major church body for 1,000 years plus, up till the 20th century. But early days, the years 200, 300, the Roman Catholic Church started taking shape around 300 and something, 405, and then what emerged out of Charlemagne, you know, the Holy Roman Empire. And then it started congealing. It took time, hundreds of years. But the point is, when you have one significant Christian, and God used St. Augustine to tidy up some doctrines, he's a primary influence. But like anyone who does not test the spirits against scripture, and he started opening up. By the time we get to 1525, you think it's only Roman Catholics that persecuted people. I've told you, Protestants would behead. Let me tell you how it was by then. If you were in Europe, you are likely considered a Christian. Why? When you were born, your parents had you baptized. Full stop. Martin Luther arises, Calvin and the rest. They say, no, the Roman Church, you can't tell us this is wrong. The Reformation, as it's called. And what results from that? You can't say it's only through the church. The Roman Catholic Church. And Luther, from where the name Lutheran comes, says only by faith. So, people start trusting Jesus by faith, not through the church. Not through just things people see. The Bible, Gutenberg Press, people were reading the Bible, was invented. So you could produce, instead of writing by hand, you could print out pages. So suddenly, you could make a page of writings just by doing check up. It was like smartphones from a world of no phones. Very fantastic invention. So the Bible became, and they started persecuting those who make Bibles, so they scattered. Whenever people scatter, they spread what they have. That's usually how God spreads what he has. Except you scatter by yourself. When you don't hear what scatter, he will scatter you. Those in this church know how far. So you advise yourself and don't stay in one place too long. God will scatter you. There will be quarrel like this. You will not know what happened. It's God. The scriptures, history tells us as they went. Now, Martin Luther comes out and the Roman Catholic Church would have loved to kill him. He was a Roman Catholic monk. And he says, no, these things you people are saying are wrong. His 95 theses he puts on the winter of Wittenberg Cathedral. Said, this is wrong. I'd like to discuss this, but, you know, when a church system has yielded to the Babylon spirit, they don't discuss. They silence. Who are you to? And they tried to silence him. Frederick kidnapped him and hid him. During that time, he translated the Bible to German. He did things in hiding. And time came, I came out. The German Republic, you know, supported him. And again, with time, it was okay. And he married this former priest. And different things happened. Going forward, he still held on to some of the beliefs from where he came. Which is not everything that was said that is wrong. There are many things that are right. But this is how it always is when God is moving forward. The bad thing is when the old move starts persecuting the new one. And what did they do? They actually did that. They tried to do that. They did. We know that they persecuted Protestants. There were wars and battles between countries, France, England, Scotland, all that, because of being categorical. Bloody Mary was a Roman Catholic queen. So you have members of a family and this one believes in is a Catholic and this one is a Protestant. So this one comes in. Elizabeth, I think the second was a Protestant. This other Mary here, the one they call Bloody Mary, the different, was Catholic. So in that time, she persecuted Protestants. Like that. People would die, they put people to death. Just different things would happen. And we've always known, oh yeah, and I've spoken about so many times, the Roman Catholics were the Protestants killed too. They call them the Anabaptists, the ones who said, we practice that thing here. We tell you, if you were not born again and you got baptized as a child, you have to believe and be baptized. That's what the Bible says. Whosoever believed was baptized. So the Anabaptists said, we want to go back around 1521 or so. We want to go back to how the Bible, as we read in the Bible, because the Bible was becoming known. Take note, 1520 something. So they said, if you believe in Jesus and someone will preach and people say yes, they say we will baptize you. As you baptize you, you're signing your death warrant. They pass laws in nations, Catholic and Protestant, to kill such people. Protestants would drown you. They say, Abby, you want to be baptized. Then they will hold you under. They would cut off your head. Those were the two major ways. The Catholics, major way, they will burn you alive. They agreed with the government. On this, they were in agreement. They killed thousands. They called them Anabaptists. That's to be rebaptized. So don't even walk around with that mindset. Ah, it was the Roman Catholic Church only. No, the Protestants. Some places pass laws that you can kill them without summary, even if it's suspected. So they drowned people all over the world. In one case, they were chasing the man. He escaped. He was running. Then the person that was chasing him fell through broken ice and started drowning. He came back to save him, knowing that as he's coming back to save him, they'll catch him. And true, he saved him and they handed him over and killed him. They killed thousands. Why am I telling you that? The spirit of Babylon, mystery Babylon, is a murdering spirit. You can overcome its temptation. It doesn't mean it will leave you alone to try and come after you. Jesus came that we might have life for a reason. And he tells us that this blood is so we have life. It's why you too endure pain and go through the process of pressing into God. The figurative or literal shedding of your blood, giving up your life, the life is in the blood. Giving up things for the sake of Jesus results in life for others too. Is this clear? Not in the same way Jesus' life does. This gives life to all. But there's what laying down. In today, everything you heard and learned, everything we shared today, should push you towards saying, Hebrews chapter 12 verse 4. I want you to read that and I pray and we are done. Hebrews 12 verse 4.
In your struggle against sin,
you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. In Jesus' struggle against sin in this world, he resisted till the point that he shed his blood. You, all of us, if you don't come to the point where you're willing, Lord, if I perish, I perish. If you're not willing to fight against sin to that point, then you have not gotten to the point God wants you to. Revelations 12 verse 11. They overcame him. This is how you overcome Babylon. This is how you overcome the world. By the blood of the Lamb. By the word of your testimony. And you don't love your life so as to shy away from death. If you're willing to pay this price, to endure pain, to please Jesus, then I can assure you, the day will come where you'll be able to stand in front of him, like those Chinese Christians, like those North Korean Christians, like people everywhere, and this, you're not too ashamed. Is this okay? Father, thank you for the blood. Thank you for the body broken for us and shed for us. You promised us life. Let life be imparted right now to everyone within this house. Amen. The life that only Jesus gives. Understanding, knowledge, the life of the Spirit. Rejuvenate us and purge us. Let this be a call, an answer to the corruption and the filthiness of the Spirit that has spread throughout the earth. Look upon this, O Lord God.
and see the sacrifice of your son and free us from the corruption that is in the world. May we overcome temptation. May we resist sin. May this be our testimony. Do as you promised. Give us life that is stronger than death. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Take the bread, take the wine. Father, I thank you. Just, do you want to lift your hands and express gratitude? We thank you for Jesus. Let your kingdom come and your will be done in our lives.
Amen.
Ah, we go from here. Say with me, I don't want to sin anymore.
I resist sin in Jesus' name.
That favor might remain.
That favor might remain.
Upon my life.
Upon my life.
May I be an example of the believers.
May I be an example of the believers.
And may no spirit deceive me.
And may no spirit deceive me.
Purge us of all filthiness.
Purge us of all filthiness.
Of the spirit.
And flesh.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Father, I ask that you bless your children as they go.
Amen.
Every offering that is given, I ask that it be received for your glory. And I ask that you speak to us continuously.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
We pray you receive eyes to see, ears to hear, and an understanding heart. Remember, test all things and hold fast to what is good. For more information, visit our website at gods-lighthouse.org.